deconstructing the plan. Never pillow talk, cuz call if I'm stuck in the jam. Study XYZ like a professor in camp. But I'm too old to be watching my back and wondering who my man. Damn. Intuition on target like a trained archer. My line of cane dropped me off at departure. Right before she had me pick between swatches. Gotta redecorate every time I lead a beat of carcass. This rendition was a premonition. And you can't even promise your listeners you living realistic. I had bars way before I was legal to enter. Told me.
Ooh, we back. Robin E, that's me, checking in for Pillow Talk Podcast. Y'all already know what's good. If you are not subscribed, I don't really know what you're doing at this point, but you need to get it together, okay? As always, want to give a shout-out to the jam in rotation right now. We got D So Nice with the Sade's mood. Going real brazy right now, okay? Definitely an artist that's in the rotation for the hip-hop edition. So if you are interested in being featured on Robin E. Pillow Talk's rotation lineup, tag me. Tag me in some shit, all right? Tag me in something. Send me a message. Let me know how you sound and so you can be in the rotation. So there's R&B, there's hip-hop, and there's rap as of right now. I would like to do pop. I'm working on, you know, Afro beats. That's coming up next. But right now, we got R&B, we got hip-hop, and we got rap, okay? So if you want to be in the rotation, you already know you got to get at me. Want to make sure I give a shout-out to the sponsors. Because without y'all, there would be no lights on. There would be no heat blowing. There would be nothing to sip in my cup. So as always, want to give a shout-out to a Crazy Place venue. Shout-out to my boy, Bolos Crazy, Carlos Smith, always doing crazy shit, okay? So if you've never been to a Crazy Place venue, I highly suggest you take your ass down there and go check it out. Selfie rooms are lit. There's a purple room now. So you already know I'm finna slap Pillow Talk, slap it on the motherfucking wall so y'all can see it in a Crazy Place. So make sure y'all pull up. Of course, Black Scotland Clothing still giving some of the hottest urban wear. Make sure y'all tap in with them. And No Cap Graphics. Now, I have to give them a special shout-out because No Cap Graphics is who made my Pillow Talk banner when I went on tour. So I'm always going to remember that. I need to hit him back up, get some more things made. So shout-out to him. Man, we are in the Midwest. The weather is all types of fucked right now, okay? We had a very small snowstorm, and then today was just sunny and all the snow was melting. I don't really know what's going on with the weather right now, the atmosphere right now. You know what I'm saying? You got UFOs coming on in. The force field around Earth is just fucked. But this is giving me more motivation to go ahead and get up out of here. But you see in California right now, they're actually dealing with a blizzard. It's the first time it snowed in California in a very, very long time. And they're just freaking out. It's not even a lot of snow. So I guess in that regard, I'm happy I was raised in the Midwest because, you know, we know how to get through to get through. But I can't deal with this wishy-washy weather. It's making me sick, okay? One minute I'm healthy, I'm fine, everything's good, I'm outside breathing right, and then I go to sleep the next morning, the weather a little low, I go to sleep again, I'm sick. So I need y'all to get it together. I want to take a moment real quick to shout out the LAMP program. If you follow me on social media, then you know that I work for an amazing organization, and one of my biggest duties is to be a part of our mentorship and our youth programs and make sure that they get the light that they deserve. So they performed today. They did a Black History performance out in Gurnee, and it was really, really dope. And it's crazy because you think your presence doesn't matter until you're not there. So I was running late. I was doing 1,000 things this morning, and I needed to be there to capture, obviously, the event, but to show support to my gang, to my guys, you know, to the youth. And I came in, and I didn't see them at first, and I was like, okay, maybe I missed a performance. Maybe they're not here yet. And then I saw them, and I was like, did you guys go? They were like, no. And they went, and they just went, you know, crazy. They did their thing. You know, I'm up there doing my media thing. Woo-woo, kill it. So after the performance, they were like, wow, we're so happy you're here. We thought we were up there by ourselves. And there's other people from our organization that were there as well in support. But I'm a prominent, you know, figure within the media department, but especially within our creative youth program. And it felt really good to know that they were happy for me to be there, and they felt that that was a big support for them. Despite the people being there, you know, despite having each other, it was the simple fact of somebody who now they identify as positive reinforcement being there, they felt more equipped to do what they needed to do. So mentorship, peer-to-peer mentorship, adult-to-child mentorship, however you want to label the mentorship relationship, is so important right now. And honestly, I think that's one of the biggest ways we can combat a lot of the violence that plagues our youth, is if we can provide some sort of protection or mediation in the form of a friend or a parental figure to an extent. Obviously, I'm not, you know, parenting them or trying to take a spot of parenting, but being that extended adult figure that they can confide in is so important. You know what I'm saying? It's just so important. I had a few peers, you know, growing up, or a few people that I felt played a big part in my development because they were some people that I could trust. And I think a lot of our youth struggles with trusting other people, as they should. Youth vulnerability and innocence is so important, and we want to make sure that they stay innocent as long as possible. But we also want to make sure that they stay kids. And one of the biggest ways that you can do that is showing up. Okay? So show up to your kids' events. Show up to your friends' kids' events, your nieces, your cousins, your nephews, whatever the case may be. Having your face there, it means so much to them, and it makes them feel more confident to do whatever it is that they were there to do. So I just want to give a shout out again to them. You know, Robin E. love the kids. I love the kids. I was a camp counselor for several years, so I love kids. I don't have any kids. I plan on having kids. I'm 30 now, so the pressure's on, but, you know. Anywho, today on Pillow Talk Podcast, this is Blacklist episode, you know what I'm saying? So it's about to get real serious. Real serious. Real serious. Real serious. I wish I could rap so fucking bad. So if you're a familiar Pillow Talk, you know, fan, Pillow Talk Nation, Pillow Talk gang, 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 then you already know what Blacklist is about. But in case you are new to the Purple Room, Pillow Talk Blacklist is just a recount of some black topics that hit our social media sites within the recent week. And we're going to dive a little deeper into it because that's what I like to do. I want to make you think. I want to make you use your noggin because that's what you need to do. If you don't use the muscles, they're going to go away. Okay? They're going to go away. So to me right now, the constant theme that I'm seeing within some of the black topics, obviously there was a lot of shit that went down, okay? But I want to focus mainly on the family dynamic because to me, this is one of our biggest problems as a black community, as a black culture, as a black race. The family dynamic, you know, it stems all the way back to slavery times where we were separated and we've gotten used to having a separated type of family. And the two-parent dynamic, to me, is just obsolete now. People don't feel the need to push the two-parent household. So Nick Cannon, okay? Nick Cannon went on ahead and had him a 12th baby. And he's really like the ass of dads right now, only because he's being selfish. I'm gonna tell you why. It's already bad enough that you then gave your children a whole bunch of other siblings that they probably won't see or have a real connection with throughout their life. So there you have right there. And you're robbing your child of having a functional two-parent household. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Having two parents in the household makes a difference completely in the way that the child grows up, the way they interact, the type of values that they instill within themselves. All of those things stem from the parenting, from the foundation. That's the foundation right there. So Nick Cannon, you know, has been dealing with health issues. He's spoken a lot about that. He's been in and out the hospital. He's mentioned how he wanted to go back to Mariah Carey if he ever got the chance. Yet he keeps having these children. So in a recent interview, he said, God will decide when he is done. And Nick Cannon, I just want to tell you, baby, you have the power, okay? You have the final say-so. God can give you the tools, which he clearly has, but you ultimately have the choice. God gave you reasoning. God gave you logic as well. So I'm trying to understand in any universe, let alone this one, why you would feel comfortable continuously having children and not trying to build a solid two-parent household somewhere within your dynamic. And I think that he's gotten ahead of himself, and now he's kind of stuck in this situation because that's what it is. Now, if you decide to marry one of your baby mamas and be with one of them, the other ones are going to feel some type of way. And again, you're robbing your children from having that stable foundation. So generational curses, baby, we got to break them. Okay. Rolling Stone Papa, Rolling Stone Nick, stop. Okay. Now, obviously you dealing with some shit. To me, this is a cry for help. I don't know about y'all. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's deeper than sex. To me, it's deeper than spreading the seeds. You know what I'm saying? He's got some other things going on, but it's selfish for him to continue having kids right now when you don't have any type of solid foundation. And I don't care what the women say. That check will never suffice a man being in their child's life, you know, a father being in their child's life. So I don't really know, Nick. I can't flow with you on that. You know what I'm saying? I can't really flow with you on that. I need you to get your eggs together, and I need you to really think long term. Now, if he were to get married in the next year, I would be like, cool. You feel me? Like, be married, have that be a foundation. But to continuously keep getting multiple women pregnant, I don't get it. And again, it's just fucking up the cycle that we're trying to break. So congratulations to Nick on his 12th child. I hope to God he won't have no more. Moving on. So this was a touchy situation that went down right here, okay? And this involves my sound coming back. This involves Tyler Lepley and Miracle Watts. And again, we're going into the dynamic of children being robbed of the two-parent household. So, of course, y'all already know who Tyler Lepley is. So fine, by the way. I'm going to take a sip with that because, you know, I don't really do light skins. But if you know me, you know I love Drake. I've been a Drake fan since I was in, like, before college. Right when Drake came out, I'm telling you, I've been following him all his life. So he's the only light-skinned man that I would ever, you feel me, let slide up in there, with the exception. And he got a lot of notoriety from being on P-Valley and playing Damon, and, you know, he just blew up from that point. And then, you know, we saw him get in a relationship with Miracle Watts, who's like a OG Instagram model, if you will, and then they had a baby. So recently Tyler went and did an interview. He was speaking about the baby and, you know, how happy he is to be, you know, taking care of the newborn, him and Miracle. They just laughing. Oh, life is so great. It's so beautiful, right? So Miracle was on Instagram talking. She made a post about having to take care of her kids, as in multiple. So Tyler Lepley has two other children. His baby's mother, his ex, April King, commented on Miracle's picture, basically saying, you've only met kids one time, you know, they're not your kids. I didn't know that Tyler had other kids. I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if anybody else knew. I did not know. I've only seen one picture, which is now because I knew about the kids, but I never knew he had kids. And obviously that's a situation that varies on people. I don't have kids, so privacy is important. Obviously you don't want to share your children with the world if you don't need to, but you can't sit up here and on over your newborn kid when you have two other kids that I guess apparently you're kind of estranged from. So I went to go look up April. She works in the industry. I believe she's like a talent scout or something like that. She's done a lot of things. She's been in the industry a very, very long time. So she's a prominent woman. You know what I'm saying? She ain't just a nobody. She's a prominent woman. Beautiful, light skin, you know, got a little something going on, body looking right, all of that. And her and Miracle had a brief spat via the comments. But my thing with the situation here again is Tyler decided, and you know what? I'm going to take that out because I don't know. I don't know the whole situation. I'm just assuming, based off the way that April is coming, that Tyler was the one that left the situation. I'm just saying. I could be wrong, but for the sake of the conversation, we're going to roll with that explanation. So Tyler, I'm assuming, got on, got his juice, decided that he wanted to leave that relationship and obviously co-parent. April was feeling some type of way about it, but obviously you got to do what you got to do for your kids. Now that he's in a new relationship where he's public and he's falling over the baby, you think you just going to forget about these other two kids that you didn't have me? Think you just going to lay up with Miracle and not check in with my other two kids? And the kids are like 3 and 4. Like, they're not that big. So why would Tyler leave that situation to go be in another family dynamic? Now, obviously, people aren't happy. You can't force people to be together. I know that. But again, the bigger picture here, you can't, I don't even know how to word it. You can't, to me, preach about being a good father to one kid and not to the others. You can't acknowledge one child and not acknowledge your other kids. So, again, we're seeing a broken dynamic, and now we're seeing an estranged relationship between his baby mama and him, which can only result in him probably not seeing the kids any further now that he's public and in a relationship with Miracle. So I think that Miracle was wrong for bringing up the kids. I think she was wrong for mentioning that in the comments. I understand you and this man had a baby all together. Maybe y'all gonna get married. I don't know. But you're not his wife right now. You're just a girlfriend right now. And I'm sure she was well aware of the estranged relationship between the two. So the fact that you felt like you needed to say that online to me was kind of like trying to make it seem like I'm a working mom. I got to get it. You are a mother, but you are not a stepmother. And you don't technically have any obligation to those other kids at this moment. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you need to respect them, you know, being a part of their life. But I think when it comes to co-parenting like that, girlfriends got to stay in their lane. You got to stay in your lane. You got to, you know, stay in your place and let that happen. But Tyler should have made sure that situation was solid. Because everything in me is telling me he just got up out of there. I'm just saying. He light-skinned. He got the Drake brows. We know Drake a fuck nigga. No, I'm just kidding. But I think that he got up out of there, and he didn't really handle the end result properly, which left April feeling left out and feeling kind of disregarded in terms of the kids. So when black men go into these relationships and, you know, you're with this woman and maybe you did love her at some point in time, and then you fell out of love. And then you go out your way to be with somebody else, and then I don't know what precautions are taken, but then you end up having a baby with someone else. We're all adults. You know what? I'm going to sip a drink real quick because I'm about to say something. We're all adults. So when it comes to sex and protection and making sure you don't do the do's and don'ts, everybody's well aware of how to prevent pregnancy for the most part. Condoms do break. Things do happen. But for the most part, baby, we all done bought us a plan B before. The pull-out method is not 100% guaranteed, but if you do it right, you got a good 70% chance right there. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, religion plays in the part. Abortion is not for everybody. But there are precautions to, you know, make sure. Birth control, things of that nature, that you don't just up and have kids. So when y'all just up and have these kids with other people, all willy-nilly, being careless, you can't expect for somebody to just understand because you have a kid now, because the baby's here. That doesn't take away the mistake of the action that you made. And I think that that's what's kind of showing right now in the Tyler Lepley situation. So Tyler hasn't really made any statements in regards to that yet. He hasn't really responded in regards to that other than that he's involved in his kid's life. But the dynamic of having multiple women carry your seed has got to stop. You know what I'm saying? And you're able to live your life. Tyler can live his life. He's a grown man. He's single. He, you know, I mean, well, he's in a relationship, but obviously you can move on. You can do what you want to do. But be a man and man up and make sure that you're taking care of all your family. Make sure that everybody's good in this situation. Don't just brush something off to the side because you feel like they're not going to speak up on it or you're going to get to it when you get to it. Make sure that you handle all of that. So I do hope that Tyler is able to establish a healthy relationship between his kids and his newborn baby because they are all related at this point and they're all family. Now, on the plus side, he's able to provide a two-parent household on the other hand. So, you know what I'm saying? We can give it up for that. We can give it up for that. But again, have some respect. Having a baby, carrying a baby, that shit's hard. And then to do it again and again is hard. And we all know that being a mother is a full-time job. So give the respect that's due. That's all. Moving on. Now, this is something that has really been on my chest. And I was debating on whether or not I was going to talk about it because I didn't want to offend anybody. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. Because that's what I do. No, I'm going to just talk about it. So, Gabrielle Union, Dwayne Wade's son, who recently was granted by a judge the okay to change his gender and his name to, you know, so he's a female and he will now be going by Zaya Malachi Aramis Wade. Now, there's several things wrong with this dynamic. I don't want to dive into everything. I'm just going to touch on some of the things I feel is the most important. Now, let me say this. I'm not homophobic. I have no problem against trans, gay, bisexual, anything like that. His, her, them, they. Live your best life. Whatever makes you feel comfortable. The problem is the age and people of that community feeling as though at a younger age you're able to make that type of decision. And that's something that I just don't understand. I don't understand how, you know, a 14-year-old boy knows that he's gay to the extent that he wants to become a woman. I think that adolescence is a time to experiment and get to know yourself, but unless you are exposed to something that's making you feel that way, to me, there should be no reason why you would even want to venture down that road. And I'm not here to down Dwayne Wade or Gabrielle Union's parenting skills because, again, I don't have kids. But be a parent and parent your kid. You know, Dwayne Wade, you're an athlete. You're a super macho guy. And I find it very hard to believe that being with your son still resulted in him feeling like he needed to be a woman. So on the other side of that, him, Dwayne Wade, being a professional athlete, he's gone a lot of the time, which left his son with Gabrielle. And if you know Gabrielle Union and her story, you'll know that she's dealt with infertility and, you know, they went ahead and adopted a daughter, and she's always kind of been a little, I don't know, eccentric when it comes to parenting. She did an interview like a couple weeks ago speaking on being a stepmother and how she didn't know what to do and she didn't understand her role and, you know, she was just kind of figuring it out type of thing. And I used to love Gabrielle Union. Back in the day, she was like an it girl. She was one of those black elite that, you know, really pushed her way through and became a very familiar face. But it wasn't until she got married to Dwayne Wade that I think we started to see a lot more condescending things from her and her desire to want things to fit into her parameter and how she wants. So she's always spoken about daughters and a little girl and things of that nature. And she got her little girl. She adopted one. But I'm not okay with them allowing his son to change his gender. So there was a conversation on Twitter that played into buck breaking and the whole idea of taking away a masculinity element of the black man in order to make him teachable, tolerable, listen, things of that nature. And I think that historical lesson has transcended so deep into the way we view masculinity now when it comes to the black man. And now we see a lot more black men trying out femininity in a lot of different extremities to the point that now they feel they want to be a woman. And it's no shade to Dwayne Wade's son, but you will never know what it's like to be a woman unless you're born one. You can buy booty, you can, you know, get your thing chopped off, you can take estrogen, you can do whatever you feel you need to do, but nothing will ever replace the feeling of being a woman other than an actual woman. And I think that at 15 years old, barely knowing yourself, having not even really experienced a lot on a personal level, how could you know already at that age that that's what you want to be? So again, we're looking at the black family dynamic here, and we're trying to figure out how this happened. I'm not speaking like this is a bad situation, but I think that breaking the cycle plays into part here because this is something that is historically embedded in our culture, and we've become so used to seeing it that we don't want to really talk about how it happened. So I do feel like Dwayne Wade did not influence his child enough as far as creating that bond between man and son to strengthen his feelings of wanting to be a boy. But when you leave a boy with a woman, a lot of the times they are going to pick up some of those traits. And us being in the world that we're in right now, it's easy to feel like you need to be this type of way, you need to be that type of way. I think that more parenting should have been done and more reinforcement. This is a decision you should be able to do when you're 18. You know what I'm saying? You're 15 years old. You're just hitting puberty. There's no way in hell that you know right now you want to be a girl and you've been a boy up until this time. When you're 18, when you're an adult, you know, you can do what you want to do. Make that decision. But right now, you are a boy. This is how you're living. This is it. So I just wish that more parents, and specifically celebrity parents, will put their foot down. You give your kid a lot of freedom because of your status, which allows a lot of negativity and influences to pour into them. But be a parent. Step your foot down. You know what I'm saying? Don't allow these kids to just make decisions. That's why they're fucking kids. That's why you're the parent. So I feel like in this situation, Dwayne Wade didn't put that foot down. As a black father, as a man, I feel like he should have put that foot down. Now, does he love his son? Absolutely. And you can feel that love through and through. But I do think that he allowed Gabrielle to kind of take over a lot of that parenting during the time where he was away, and that did heavily influence his son. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen. You know, to me, it's kind of the same thing with Magic Johnson's son. Even though he lives still as a man, you can see that he is gay, very flamboyant, and Magic Johnson was gone a lot of the time, you know what I'm saying, playing basketball and being away. So the relationship between a man and a son is so important, and just being around your son is so important. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't got to do shit all day, but just your son knowing that you're there or you're available to do something with them really makes a difference, and you can kind of have those deeper conversations. That's just, you know, kind of my opinion on that. So the black family dynamic is in a crisis right now. And I'm someone who comes from a two-parent household, speaking from experience, that really helped me be who I am. I would not be who I am had I not had both of my parents in my house with me. Now, obviously, I'm not perfect. There's trauma that I've dealt with. There's things that I've resented them for. But knowing that I had a nice balance of soft and hard from my parents, I think really molded me into the type of decisions that I make, into the type of people that I allow in my circle. We have to break generational curses. And the only way we can do that is by communicating and identifying them when we see them. Let's not wait until it develops and it grows into a big problem. If you see it happening, say something right then and there. You know, black folks in particular, we got a bad habit of not communicating. We think that everybody's supposed to read our mind. It's not how shit works. if you have an issue with something, you have to speak on it. And if you want to stop something from happening, you got to speak on that shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to speak on that. So looking at these, and these are just situations, some things that I saw within the Black culture specifically that I wanted to highlight, but take this into everything else that you do in life. You know what I'm saying? And into other situations to kind of understand why certain things play out the way that they do. Look at the way that a man has a relationship with his mother. Look at the way that a woman has a relationship with her father. You know what I'm saying? Are those questions that are being asked when you're dating somebody, do you have both your parents? Were you raised by both your parents? I think that that makes a significant difference in the outcome. So generational curses, baby, they are real, real in the field, and they can transcend through decades and show up where you least expect them to. And that is how they survive, because all the years they weren't addressed, and then they pop up again and everybody just overlooks them. So I do hope that as a culture, we can get back to that strong two-parent household, because I don't give a damn what you say. Having two parents in the house absolutely matters. I had to get deep on y'all. I had to get deep on y'all real quick. I'm gonna get a little bit deeper. So spring is around the corner. It's on the way, you feel me? Sun shining out a little bit longer. Weather getting a little more spicy. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, spring cleaning involves you clearing out your space and cleaning your car and greasing your scalp, sweeping the dust out the door. But internal self-cleaning is the key. One of the biggest things we talk about every year is resolutions and how we're going to stop doing this and we're going to start doing that and we're going to, you know, start this new plan and we're going to quit this bad habit. And although a lot of us never do them, talking to you, it doesn't matter, because the biggest thing we reflect on is change of character, internal reflection. So as we get to the spring cleaning era and the spring break era, I want you to take a moment to reflect on yourself. Clean yourself out, okay? Internally. Accountability and identifying patterns that you've done in the past is prominent right now. Because the only way you're going to be able to really push those New Year resolutions is if you're able to change behavior. It's February, all right? We're only 2 months into the year, but 2 months is a long time to examine what you've been doing or what you haven't been doing. So you want to make sure that you're looking at things, looking at your patterns, looking at the way that you were moving before and how you can change. It's still early in the year. You still got time to implement everything that you want to implement. But it starts from within first. One of the things I plan on working on this year that I have been working on this year is patience. I have a very short temper. It's like this short. And I don't always like show it, but in my mind, I'll just cut out the conversation. Like, as soon as I get mad about whatever, I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm done listening to that shit. Like, that's how I am about it. So I'm working this year on trying to not be that way, trying to make sure that I am being understanding. It's hard. But that's something that I have to work on, because everybody doesn't work at the same pace. Everybody doesn't operate the same way. You got to give people a little bit of lead way. But I'm going to give your ass a little bit now. When you cross that threshold and you're still playing in my face, then it's a wrap. But you want to make sure that you're looking, you know, at repeated behaviors. Accountability, okay? Accountability is the word this year. I think transparency was the word of 2022. We can get rid of that. We done with transparency. Toss it out. Throw it out. It's done. Accountability. Own up to your shit this year. If you don't do nothing else this year, you want to make sure that you own up to your shit. Stop blaming other people for why you didn't get something done. Stop blaming other people for why you didn't get nothing done. Stop finding excuses. Start saying, you know what? I was on TikTok for 3 hours, and that's why I didn't get that shit done. You know what? I went out, and that's why I didn't get that shit done. Of course, the repercussions might be more severe, but at least you can man up and know that you're able to be accountable. That's a part of character, people. I don't think y'all really understand it. Accountability is so fucking important, especially the older that you get. You know, I'm 30 now. I feel like I'm real wise. I feel like, you know, I grew overnight and I understand now. But being able to own up to when you're wrong, that makes people trust you. You know what I'm saying? That makes people confide in you. That makes you responsible to an extent. It's just needed. So this year, if you don't work on shit else that you're doing, accountability, baby, okay? Accountability. Woo! I had to preach to y'all today. I didn't mean to do all that, but I did it. So let's get into some black sounds that are going on right now, okay? So Tink just dropped a new album, okay, called Thanks for Nothing. You can't even trust who you fucking. These days, niggas wanna hurt you for nothing. These days, I don't even care for a title. These days, you just getting fucked and recycled. Ooh. Tink. Okay, baby, she coming through with it. She coming through with it right now. The girls are loving Tink. Thanks for Nothing is out right now. It's a 14-track album, R&B vibes only. Oh, people calling me R&B vibes only, and it's really dope. Tink, to me, is definitely one of the most underrated artists. She is somebody that does not get the flowers that she deserves. You know what I'm saying? She's from Chicago, from the Midwest. She made it about that, you know, middle range of known and independent to worldwide. She did songs with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand why Chicago doesn't push Tink a little bit more. That's kind of always been an issue, I feel like. But she's doing her thing, and she's showing the world yet again why she is gifted. So if you guys have not checked out Tink, Thanks for Nothing, ladies, y'all gonna be in y'all feels. Y'all gonna really be in y'all feels. Okay? Y'all gonna really be in y'all feels, and it's gonna do something to your spirit. I don't know what the summer gonna look like. I don't know what the summer's gonna look like with this. Are we still fuck nigga free? I don't know if we are still fuck nigga free. In addition to that, Key Glock is back with another album. Okay, so we got Glaucoma 2. Glaucoma 2 is in effect. It's out right now. Paper out fire, yeah, nigga. Yeah. Cook a lot for me, nigga. It's a family, not a gang. And not a gang. Sick of niggas tryna throw dirt on my name. Drinking my cup, no Kurt Cobain. Yeah, Glock be the name, and you know I'm gon' bang. I made me some millions, they think I'm a chain. Hey, fuck this fame, man, fuck these chains. Made packs disappear like David Blaine. These bitches be all on my danger line. I just bought a new blue panky ring. My heart cold is icebox. Ooh! Adds to playlist. No, shout out to Key Glock. I love Key Glock. He is a fave for me. I've loved Key Glock since he came out. This is, I believe, the first album he's put out since Young Dolph was killed. So it's nice to kind of see him back in his bag. I'm anxious. I haven't listened to the whole album right now. I've just been listening to a few singles, but I'm anxious. You know, I'm anxious to see what else is coming from him. The cover to the album is very eerie. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very devilish looking right now. I don't know if y'all seen it. But dealing with death is hard. Dealing with somebody close is hard. Losing a mentor, a brother figure is hard. So I'm happy to kind of see him really get back in his creative bag and continue to push forward because, you know, that's what Dolph would want him to do. Now, obviously, we got the Say La Resistance on the plate. Drake drops the video for Spin About You. Which I am overly excited for. Like, I love Drake. And to me, Drake is really just that nigga. You know what I'm saying? He's somebody that knows how to build the propaganda around his vibe, and he knows how to intrigue people and make them want to tune in to him. You feel me? Which I absolutely love, because, baby, we tuned the fuck in. Spin About You, that's definitely one of my favorite, you know what I'm saying, one of my favorite tracks. So he went on ahead and dropped the video with 21 Savage. It's already at 1.8 million views, okay? This shit dropped yesterday. Let's watch a little snippet of it. Let's watch a little snip. The way feel these days, baby girl. The way stop playing with my boy. Yo, stop playing with Drake, real shit, all right? Stop playing with Drake, real shit. I love Drake because he's an actor. He will implement acting and movie shit into anything that he does. Everything he do is top-notch. It's creative. You feel me? It's always a plan. It's a scheme. It's a experience. It's an experience. So a lot of y'all can take notes from Drake. Say what you want to say about Drake, but that's a cold motherfucker right there. And he knows how to build the hype. Abso-fucking-lutely. So the video is fire. The whole, you know, storyline, plot line, plot twist, if you will, is super duper fire. He has a girl that they find, and she ends up, like, robbing their ass and shit. It was really, really good, but I love it, you know, because they could have made some classic little hood shit, really spin around the block. But they're rich. Rich niggas. They own a yacht. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. So that is all I got for y'all today, okay? Pillow Talk Podcast is always bringing you the real deal spiel. Like I mentioned before, if you want to get on the rotation, inbox me, call me, beat me if you want to reach me. Now, I got a shout out. Your girl will be hosting some events this year. You already know Black Lives Matter celebrates Women's History Month, which is next month for March. So Saturday, March 25th, I will be hosting the Women's Brunch thrown by Black Lives Matter. We have a guest speaker, Nabila Swede, that will be coming through, in addition to some few other incentives. It's from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here in Lake County, all right? So y'all gonna have to pull up on me on my stumping grounds. Come and see me rock the mic and just come celebrate women. It's really just gonna be a vibe. Everybody will be dressed up. It's $30 per person, $50 for a couple. If you want to get a table, it's $150 per table, okay? So there will be food there. We'll have cute little drinks. It's really just going to be a vibe, you know what I'm saying, celebrating the beautiful women because we run the world. We run the world, okay? Pillow Talk Podcast is always open to interviews, so if you're interested in being on Pillow Talk Podcast, all you got to do is inbox me, okay? Slots are filling up fast, and I want to make sure I get all of you. Pillow Talk shoots only on weekends. As always, I appreciate y'all for rocking with your girl. Make sure you keep it locked because this is where the fuck it's at. Peace out.